Hello, welcome to your daily briefing, August the 4th, 2020. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can continue our study today. We're grateful for how much you have shown us in advance. And as we look around and we see the changing world, we recognize that you have identified this exactly as we are seeing it. We ask that you would give us the strength that is necessary so that we might walk according to your will, and that our lives might be reflections of your grace. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. There's been quite a lot of discussion about the possibility of some rather unusual things happening during the election that is going to be held on November the 3rd. And so I came across an article found in the Washington Post that was published on June the 22nd, 2020. And the writer of the article is Amy Gardner, G-A-R-D-N-E-R. The title of the article is Barring a Landslide, What's Probably Not Coming on November the 3rd? A Result in the Race for the White House. Let me give you that title again. Barring a Landslide, What's Probably Not Coming on November the 3rd is a Result in the Race for the White House. The article is found in the Washington Post, published on June the 22nd, 2020. Here's the article. After voters in Pennsylvania, Georgia, and Nevada went to the polls this month, some races hung in the balance for days as election officials waded through thousands of absentee ballots. On Tuesday, a similar scenario is expected to play out in Kentucky and New York, where officials have already announced that some results will not be available for as long as a week. In all five states, officials have contended with an avalanche of mail ballots as voters seek to avoid exposure to the novel coronavirus. It was a fresh illustration of how the pandemic is transforming the way elections are conducted in the United States. It is also a stark preview of what's coming on November the 3rd, or more accurately, what may not be coming. An election night result in the race for the White House. If voters remain reluctant to cast ballots in person, November is likely to bring an even more massive wave of voting by mail than what has swept across the country during primary seasons. That, in turn, means that a close race between President Trump and former Vice President Joe Biden, the presumptive Democratic nominee, in a pivotal state, could take days, even weeks, to resolve. Election officials across the country are warning. Barring a landslide for either candidate, that scenario could invite an unprecedented test of the country's faith in its elections. An extended period without a declared winner. Amid that uncertainty, few except Trump, who has said repeatedly that he thinks mail voting could cost him the election, to soothe voter anxieties. On Monday, the president fired off tweets making unfounded assertions that voting by mail will cause massive fraud and allow foreign countries to manipulate and vote, echoing claims by his attorney general, William P. Barr. Because of mail-in ballots, 2020 will be the most rigged election in our nation's history, he said in his tweet. Unless this stupidity is ended, that is what will happen. Continuing in a separate tweet, he says, millions of mail-in ballots will be printed by foreign countries and others. It will be the scandal of our lifetime. There is no evidence that such wide-scale fraud is possible. And election officials across the country have disputed Trump's and Barr's claims. Both Trump and Barr have voted by mail in past elections. A volley of warring lawsuits by the national parties could add to the tense environment. Already, party lawyers are battling in court fights about the country to shape voting rules that will govern the election. The situation could plunge the country into an electoral crisis, not seen since the acrimonious recount between Democrat Al Gore and Republican George W. Bush 20 years ago, when the then vice president did not concede until a Supreme Court ruling 35 days after the election, historians said. It was the longest Americans had ever waited in modern times to know who their next president would be. A long vote count is going to automatically create mayhem about a rigged election, said presidential historian Douglas Brinkley, quoting Trump's oft-repeated accusation. We'd be better off if Biden or Trump won by a substantial margin. If someone decisively wins, people will be content with the result. The evidence that November the 3rd may not resemble past presidential elections has accrued with each passing primary. First came Wisconsin on April the 7th, when officials processed a record number of absentee ballots, nearly 1.1 million votes. The U.S. Supreme Court had ordered officials to accept all mail ballots post-park by Election Day and received 6 days later, delaying the release of results until the following Monday. Then came Pennsylvania and Georgia and Nevada after that, all states that saw record absentee voting, with about 3 million mail ballots cast in all. In Georgia and Nevada, voters stood in hours-long lines past midnight, contributing to delayed tallies. In Georgia, still more delays ensured after difficulty with new voting machines forced many voters to fill out provisional ballots on paper. Last Tuesday, a full week after the Georgian primary, election workers in Gwinnett County, a suburb of Atlanta, sat at tables spread out across the road's Jordan Park community gym, piles of ballots still in front of them for processing. Gwinnett Province processed 85,000 mailed ballots in this year's primaries, compared with a normal count of about 18,000, according to county spokesman Joe Sorensen. The county finished on Friday, 10 days after polls had closed. Given the complexity of the task, that's pretty good, to be honest, Sorensen said. Pennsylvania processed 1.5 million mail ballots this month, compared with 84,000 in 2016. In Nevada, this year's number was 483,788, compared with about 25,000 in 2016. In Kentucky, nearly 1 million voters had requested mail ballots as of last week, vastly more than the roughly 50,000 people who usually vote absentee. In New York, roughly 10 times the number of ballots mailed 4 years ago have been requested for Tuesday's primary. Other forces beyond the sheer volume of mail ballots have contributed to how long the counts have taken this spring. Some states don't allow the processing of ballots to begin until in-person polls have closed on election day, a rule that hasn't delayed outcomes in past elections when fewer people have voted by mail. This year, however, it's a debilitating handicap. Pennsylvania Secretary of State Kathleen Borgwark said she persuaded the state legislator to allow officials to begin processing mail ballots the morning of in-person voting for the June 2 primary. It still wasn't enough for a process that includes open envelopes, verifying voters' identities, and scanning ballots into machines. 13 hours doesn't do it, she said. Pennsylvania did not finish tallying absentee ballots until 10 days after the primary. Michigan and Wisconsin also prohibited election officials from processing mail ballots until Election Day. Together, the three competitive battleground states pushed Trump over the top in 2016 with a total margin of less than 90,000 votes. Such rules virtually guarantee that results won't be available on the night of the election and point to the need, election officials say, for the public to shift its expectations. "We would all like to know early," said Ohio Secretary of State Frank LaRose. "This is a voter education effort. When we rely on absentee voting, there will be ballots that continue to arrive days after the election." LaRose said he expects about a quarter of the state's electorate, or about 1.7 million voters, to cast ballots by mail this fall. In 2016, about 1.2 million did that. When you receive that volume, that avalanche of ballots, there's some logistics that people underestimate. The process is faster in the handful of states that have nearly universal mail voting, including Colorado. Their election officials are permitted to process ballots as they arrive, scanning them into high-capacity machines and quickly totaling results from scanners once polls have closed on election night. It's really easy to get 60 or 70% of your ballots done before the election night, said Jode Coyote, the state's top election officer. But not if you have limitations on what ballots you can process or how you can process them. Another force at work this year, scarce resources. City and county election officers have struggled to retain poll workers amid the threat of the virus. In Kentucky's Tuesday primary, workers' shortages have reduced the number of planned polling places across the state to 200, down from 3,700 in a typical election year. These shortages have bled into the work crunch that comes after election night as well. Election officials are pleading with state lawmakers to adjust the rules to accommodate the crush of mail ballots that expect in the fall, an effort complicated by the president's repeated attacks on the process. In Pennsylvania, Bukovar expects to obtain legislative permission once again to start processing ballots before election night in November. Although this time, she said, she will seek even more time than the 13 extra hours allowed in the primary. In Michigan, however, Secretary of State Jocelyn Benson so far has not been able to persuade her state Republican legislator to pass legislation allowing scanning to begin ahead of time. The president's denunciation of mail voting make it harder to prepare for November, Benson said. There is tremendous need to adapt other laws to allow the election system as a whole to continue to operate smoothly. Preparations that state are available to make now to prepare for the flood of mail will shape how quickly Americans will learn who has won the presidential contest. Presidential elections are almost always called before counting in is complete. Many news outlets, including the Washington Post, follow the predictions of the Associated Press, the wire service with a long track record of combining reported results with exit polling data to announce state-by-state results. The surge in mail balloting this year has complicated these calls. In Georgia, the AP incorrectly declared runoffs in two Democratic House primaries where late returns came in. David Scott, an AP deputy managing editor, said the races were called too early, but said the organization takes into account the different ways that votes are cast. The possibility that the winner of the White House race will not immediately be known will test both the candidates and the public's tolerance for uncertainty. It is not unusual for campaigns to use early results to spin public opinion about the outcome. But during the Florida recount in 2000, neither Bush nor Gore ever threatened to not accept the ultimate outcome. On December the 13th, 2000, after a Supreme Court decision went to Bush, Gore gave a full-throated nod to his rival. What remains of partisan rancor must now be put aside, and may God bless his stewardship of this country, Gore said to Bush. Many critics doubt Trump will show such restraint. He has repeatedly demonstrated a willingness to cast doubt on election results without evidence of voting irregularities, such as when he claimed that millions of undocumented people voted illegally in the 2016 White House race. In 2018, Trump questioned House Democrats' sweep to power in part with some close victories in California. He accused Democrats, without evidence, of fraudulently stuffing ballot boxes. Mail balloting would make such fraud even easier, he said. We had 7 elections for Congress, and they were like tied, and they lost every one of them because they came and they dropped a whole pile of ballots on the table, the president said in May. But you don't think they ripped them out of the mailboxes, do you? For his part, Biden has recently escalated his rhetoric around voting rights and warned that Trump might not accept the results in November. This president is going to try to steal this election, Biden said in an interview on The Daily Show with Trevor Noah this month. The presumptive Democratic presidential nominee said, "My single greatest concern is ensuring that the voting process is fair." Tim Murdoch, the communications director for the Trump campaign, dismissed Biden's comments as just another brainless conspiracy theory from Joe Biden as he continues to try to undermine confidence in our elections. President Trump has been clear that he will accept the results of the 2020 election, Murdoch said. Trump also shrugged off the accusation. "Certainly if I don't win, I don't win. I mean, you know, go on and do other things," Trump told Fox News. Brinkley, the presidential historian, said the scenario he can imagine in which the country accepts the results widely is if it's a really obvious, deep loss for either candidate. "People used to appreciate character, but we're not in that era anymore," Brinkley said. "This is a battle for the heart and soul of the United States. Neither side is going to lay down their arms very easily." David Wengel, Matt Vischer, and Dan Blatz in Washington contributed to that report that I just read for you. So notice where these guys are going with this, and they're telling you that there's going to be a rough way to go. And if you just consider the numbers of the votes that they expect to come in, this is going to be quite a big deal. The article is found in the Washington Post. It was published on June the 22nd, 2020. The main writer of the article is Amy Gardner, G-A-R-D-N-E-R. And the title of the article is "Barring a Landslide, What's Probably Not Coming on November the 3rd is a Result of the Race of the White House." And the point that they're making is there are going to be so many mail ballots that are going to come in. It's going to take quite a number of days before they can actually count them all. Today, you and I need to understand that these are things that will ultimately be very, very serious as we get closer and closer to November the 3rd. As a matter of fact, you and I need to anticipate some of the troubles that might come out of that exactly. Not only will be the vote difficult to arrive at, but some of the attitudes that will be displayed and some of the actions that will be taken on either side could lead to quite a bit of conflict. But we can trust in God. We've been told in advance of all of these things that are going to come. You can trust in Him. Place yourself in His hand. Remember Matthew chapter 24 makes the point that all of the things that you're seeing around you right now, these are just the beginning of sorrows. Place yourself in God's hand, and He will bear you through. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can trust you implicitly. We thank you that in spite of all of the things that we see happening around us, we know that you will guide. We ask for the strength that is necessary so that our lives and our attitudes might reflect you in every detail. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been your Daily Briefing, August the 4th, 2020.